A beacon shining in the night, faster than a bolt of light, cloaked but hiding in plain sight.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Hi, this is Stephen Amell.
Hi, I'm Juliana Harkavy, and you're listening to Arrow Squad with Cammy the Chameleon and my favorite, Martin the Flash.
And listen to this, or my fictional alter ego will hunt you down. Enjoy.
It's finale time! Oh my god, this is the Flash.
I'm Cammy. I'm so excited. Oh my goodness. Well, it's bittersweet, of course, because it's the finale, but it's the finale.
The finale, but it is the finale. And it's the finale.
See, you communicated the emotion behind those two comparisons.
Oh, yes. Wow. Well, welcome, Arrow Squad, to episode 142 of the squad, season 6, episode 23, called Life Sentence, our big season 6 finale. Wow. Did we get a good one, Cammy?
We did. It was good. I've got some highs. I've got some lows. That's exactly what we want out of a finale, right?
I think so. Well, we got lots to get into. So before we do that, though, we actually have a few bits of news this time. Let's get into that.
We interrupt this podcast for a special report.
All right, so the first big news that was released already, and I think it was Jeff Gentry that kind of posted everything, so thanks for that, bud. They released the schedule for next season already, and Arrow is moving to Monday nights after Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that'll be really interesting. I'm very happy that they're keeping the 9 o'clock time slot. Mm-hmm. This is the second time Arrow has moved days, which is not actually that usual. CW and most networks like to keep same show, same day, and Arrow started on Wednesdays, moved to Thursdays, and now it's on Mondays, so kind of run the whole circuit on weekdays, which is fun, but that'll be different. But we still get that 9 p.m. time slot, so we still get to have all that fun, gritty, adult Arrow content in there.
Yeah, and it'll be quite a good contrast, too, because Legends is kind of the fun, goofy show, and then right after that, yeah, you're going to get into the serious stuff. So if you like having the different flavors of your comic book shows, then you're going to get a double dose of two very different style of shows. So that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be really good. And it's a fun pairing. I think I like the pairing of Arrow and Legends together better than the pairing of Arrow and Flash together.
Yeah.
I think Arrow and Legends are on such opposite ends of the spectrum that you're not really tempted to compare them. They're just two very different vibes. You start out maybe fun, watch Legends with your dinner, maybe watch Arrow with your drink, and it's going to be that sort of thing, and that'll be kind of cool.
Exactly. And I should say a little quick correction. This is Arrow Squad episode 143. We did 142 last week. I just noticed that.
Yes.
Huh.
It's blame it on Barry. He time traveled. He changed the numbers.
I'm going to blame it on how this conversation first started. You should have heard, listeners, the very beginning before we started recording, I had called Cammy on Skype.
And Flash is going to expose me right now.
Well, it was hilarious because I don't know what was going on with Skype, but there was this alarm sounding in the background of her call, and it sounded like... You know that sound you hear in a submarine when it's about to submerge? That's what it was. So I thought, what is Cammy doing? Is she's recording just as they're about to submerge? She's really trying to make a break. You know, it's the season finale.
In my
she's adding
underground bunker, kind of going into hiding over hiatus. You know,
totally
gotta build up an army to take over Star City myself. Isn't that the plan?
Well, you saw that the FBI was in town, so you were just hightailing it out of there. And I don't know. It was fun, though. Yeah.
I thought you were going to expose me for starting our Skype call ranting about the royal wedding and how excited I was to watch it that I actually woke up at 6 a.m. And, like, that's going to destroy all my villain street cred. I woke up early to watch the royal wedding. Can you guys believe it? I barely believe it.
Well, you just kind of self-prosecuted yourself on that one. So I have to say nothing.
So now that we're done exposing me, let's get into some more news items for
All right.
Arrow.
Well, with the season changing, or I mean the our season changing to new night, that also means most likely our podcast recording night will also change. We haven't figured it out fully, but we're discussing it. We're looking at either really late Tuesday or Wednesday night kind of thing. We want to try to keep the 2 day, 2 days after the show airs time slot, because usually after that, people start to lose interest or forget what happened. And we don't want to release the podcast too closely to when the next episode is already coming out. So we'll figure things out, guys. Just know that it will likely change and we'll keep you informed as to when.
Absolutely. Well, we've got some other news about Arrow. I'll take this one because I'm pretty excited about this one.
Sure.
We got news during the CW upfronts, which happened earlier this week, where they released the new schedule, that Batwoman Kate Kane will be making an appearance at some point in season 7 of Arrow, or within the Arrowverse during that season. It's likely going to be a part of the crossover, and Gotham is going to be referenced.
Yeah. Well, what Stephen Amell had actually said is that the team is going to Gotham to help Batwoman fight crime in that city. So that could be very exciting to see a whole new city presented in the Arrowverse. And, you know, will we? Because he did name drop Bruce Wayne quite a few episodes ago. So it'd be interesting to see if we see a Bruce Wayne in there. Just like Supergirl got Superman and Clark Kent. Maybe we'll get an iteration of Bruce Wayne. That could be exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting. And it just gives us some interesting stuff to discuss over hiatus. Because, of course, who knows what take the Arrowverse will, you know, have on Kate Kane. But that's something fun to look up over hiatus. She's got a lot of very interesting backstory in the comics and has some very key characteristics in common with some of our Arrow characters. So who knows if that will take hold in this version of her, but that is fun to look up if you're interested.
Well, what I like about this idea is that there's so many viewers out there, people that aren't really true fans or people that started off watching it and then left because of complaints that this is really just Batman. They're just using Green Arrow in a Batman story. Well, it's like Arrow has kind of taken that tongue in cheek and said, you know what? We're just going to do some Batman stuff if that's how you really feel. So it's kind of funny and it'll be fun to see what they do.
Aren't we all really Batman if you really think about it?
Too much. But what I'd like to know actually, get some info from Bat Jordan, one of our faithful listeners, about Batwoman, because I do not know a lot about her. I know Batman, I know Robin, I know Batgirl, but I don't. Really, I've never really read anything about Batwoman or know a lot about her storyline. So it'd be kind of cool if you gave us a quick Cole's Notes version of what she's all about. That'd be cool.
Yeah, so look forward to that coming in season 7. We'll be sure to have all of the Batwoman scoop, possibly thanks to Bat Jordan.
Yeah, and since you kind of bring that up, like if we do a pre-season special kind of a get you amped for season 7. I think we did that this year, so we'll probably look at doing something like that as well again. So as news and stuff gets released, we'll basically keep track of it for everybody, and we'll come in before season 7 with a special episode to kind of premiere the season coming up with all the news and stuff that we've found out, and just kind of give you our thoughts of what possibly might be coming this next season.
Absolutely. So any other reminders or news that you have for us?
A couple things. Let's just remind everybody that was part of the contest that won. We still need to hear from you for t-shirt sizes and mailing addresses, guys. So you can send that to us privately if you want. You can use our email or, you know, connect with me or Cammy on Facebook or Twitter and send us that info so we can get the stuff ordered and sent out to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's get into this. Finale.
Yeah, some ratings.
All right, so for the season finale of season 6, I am giving it 9 times I held my breath as the action took place. This was a great finale. It wasn't perfect, but I don't really care. Arrow delivered a tension-filled, action-packed, heartfelt finale that tied up a lot of the season's story points and left a few open to be explored more next season, possibly, whether we like them or not.
I feel like that's a pointed message at one particular plot point and me.
Uh-huh. Stephen Amell knocked it out of the park in every single scene that wasn't action-based. He led this finale like his character leads the team. He has truly grown this season, and we got to witness it every single week. The action alone was high-octane, and great to see the good guys taking charge and taking control this time. The dramatic moments were so well acted and written, I wanted more of them, and this finale should have been 2 hours long. Even though we knew Lance was going, we predicted that long ago and kind of figured that's how they're going to get rid of him, I found that when his final moments came, it still brought tears. It really affected me. He's been part of the show for a long, long time. It was hard to have to say goodbye to him. And then having Sarah there really sunk it in. The music as well was full of emotion for each scene that it was pushing, and it added to the moment playing out. Like, just whether it was action intense or emotional drama, the music really, really just pushed the scene forward, and I absolutely loved it. I really can't complain much about this finale. I'm honored to still be a fan. I'm excited week to week to be with these characters that I've grown to love so much. It's going to be a long off season.
Mm-hmm. I agree. My rating's a little different, but I agree with all of your points.
All right. Let's see what you got.
Mostly. I gave two ratings for this episode. Is that allowed? Is that okay? Am I breaking some rules?
Sure. I break the rules with our favorite scenes every week. So yeah, why not?
All right. I'll embrace my villainy side and break the rules here for a second. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10 as an Arrow episode and a 6.5 out of 10 as a finale.
Interesting.
So I think that there was so much potential at play with the concepts that were used to build this finale plot. Oliver going to jail to save everyone who's helped him on this mission. That's a powerful concept, emotionally charged. The villain still being uncaptured at the end of the season, regardless of what I think about him. That's a fun twist. It's one that could leave us with many theories for next season. The whole team having to say goodbye to Oliver, who's just received a life sentence. That's an emotionally and mentally poignant and dramatic concept, and it's a tone true to the, and I don't mean this in a bad way, the soap opera nature of comics. And because of the because the concepts at play in this finale were so grand, and also because, as you said, some fantastic performances, this was not a bad finale, despite the fact that I'm giving it quite a low rating as a finale. It really couldn't be a bad finale with so much high stakes and dealing in such absolutes and high-level concepts. But at several turns, and several is a lot within about 43 minutes, I found that these grand concepts were not used to their fullest potential or anywhere near that, really. They were just okay. The series of goodbyes were short and underplayed. The villain being alive was just presented as someone in hiding from the FBI who already had the city back under control. Oliver going to federal level jail for his crimes, it falls a bit flat when it's presented within the same season where he and all of the heroes from the Arrowverse just received a presidential pardon on stage. And the FBI's goals are unclear and uncompleted. So moments like Oliver not telling his family about the arrest in front of them, and until he was arrested right in front of them at the hospital during Quentin's death, that could have been, while melodramatic and soap opera-ish, it could have been impactful and charged and full of mourning and this drive to fix this, but it kind of becomes confusingly paced by that point. Some of the impact, while it's still sad and charged and serious, is lost upon second watch especially, because we start to wonder about the pacing, the division of screen time, and these are things that we would hope would be just completely lost in our minds because we'd be so sucked into the story at this point. I don't think I can say Arrow's ever given a bad finale to us, and this finale was certainly not a bad finale. They took risks, which I love, with big concepts, which is so true to the comic book genre, and just perhaps underplayed them. That's the only real fault here. Much like the island explosion potential at the end of season 5 was almost oddly ignored and unused this
what
season.
What island explosion? What are you talking about?
Right? hear the impact of Oliver going to jail, or the fact that he was going to go to jail, and the opportunity that they had set up for themselves with these concepts to set up some reasons for why Diaz achieved his goal of getting Oliver to go to jail. Ideas like Samantha Watson being on Diaz's side in the end, or Siren intentionally helping him escape by blowing him off the bridge, things like that that are not canon but could have been interesting components of this finale, they're underused. The ending, however we got there, it does set us up for interesting stories in season 7. And finales are hard to nail. We have high expectations, we have emotions, and I've watched a lot of finales this month. It's finale season. And Arrow is one of the ones that will keep me coming back for another premiere. It just makes me hope that they will capitalize on these big concepts that they want to play with.
Well, in true villainous form, you are sounding like you're partially on the other side from me on this one. although you're, I mean, you're not totally negative, but you found some things about this one that you want to pick apart, and that's just fun. So I'm gonna counter a couple little points here.
Yeah,
you brought up them being presidentially pardoned on stage.
Yes,
the only defense I have against that was during the crossover event, and the crossovers are largely separate from the regular storyline. So I don't think they're going to pull too much from the crossover event as being part of the regular storyline and something that continues forward. I think that was just maybe a fun thing they did in that 4-episode event.
The part where they were pardoned in the crossover, you think that is not canon in this version of Arrow? I'm confused.
That's what I'm thinking. Because the crossover events are largely separate from the main storylines of everyone, because they're hardly even mentioned at all during the rest of the regular seasons on any of the shows. So it's.
But we still have the Diggles still have a son, and Flashpoint happened in a crossover.
Yeah, but they never deal with it though. It's never even mentioned. It's never even brought up. It's never
that he has a son.
Yeah, like it's so I don't know. It's not. And I mean, a lot of the stuff that a lot of the points you brought up, I think really they had so much they had to do in this episode. And that's why I said it should have been 2 hours long. So I can back you on some of that, because they could have done a lot more if they had more time. But because they had a lot to do in 42 minutes, I think they wrapped up a lot of the story parts as best they could, because they want to move on from that and not have to carry some of them forward. And mm-hmm. I mean, we'll dive into some of these points a little bit more in depth.
Yeah.
I just think they had too much to do. So to try to ask them to flesh things out, a lot more, with this finale, I think is a little bit much. We would have lost out on some other scenes if they expanded upon some of these.
Well, I have some scenes I would be willing to trade as collateral for more from other scenes. But that does get down to personal opinion. And one of the appeals, sort of to take your side in this, played the devil's advocate against myself. One of the appeals in a show like Arrow is that it does appeal to a large variety of viewers. You know, we're not all watching for the same thing. It's a show about Oliver, but it does carry a lot of marks of an ensemble show. Mm-hmm. And so one type of viewer like myself who might want, the character development of Oliver fleshed out a little bit more, and I would be willing to trade that reveal during the arrest at the hospital. I would be willing to trade that out for him taking a little bit different path to his arrest reveal. Somebody else might want more of that, you know, everything comes to a climax at the same time, you know, the death, the arrest, the reveal, all at the same time. So, you know, different strokes for different folks. This is just sort of what I guess I wanted out of it.
Well, and there's some points that I will either counter you on or I'll fully back you. I know that I've brought up later in our discussion, so we will get into some more of those to further discuss.
Absolutely.
We got a little bit of pre-show feedback, and the first one is a voicemail from our friend Justina, the Green Butterfly. She wanted to send us a message to say something to us, so let's see what she has to say.
Hi, this is your Eye in the Sky, Green Butterfly. So I got an emergency call over on Supergirl's Earth and had to fly over there. And then my trans-Earth portal was malfunctioning, and Cisco was far too busy with the Thinker to help me fix it. So I wasn't able to return to Star City in time to see tonight's events. But I wanted to send a transmission to thank you, Martin and Cammy, for all your hard work this season, leading the Arrow Squad. Thank you for everything you do for us. I saw some cool pictures on social media that suggest perhaps my favorite leading lady might have left the temporal zone on the Wave Rider to return to Star City. In which case, if I had seen the episode, it's quite possible I would score it an 11. Because Felicity and Sarah Lance in the same episode deserves more than a 10. I'm really intrigued on what circumstances may have drawn Sarah Lance home. Due to the level of evil we've been experiencing with Diaz, it's hard not to fear the worst. This guy is exceptionally bad and seems to have everyone in his pocket. I was looking back at the season as a whole, and I can say that my favorite thing is seeing Oliver balance being the Green Arrow and a family man. We have gone from season one, an immature boy alone on an island, now a married man, a father, and a hero. This was my favorite part of the season. Have a super summer, everyone. Green Butterfly out.
Aww.
I love hearing from her. I love her positivity and her excitement about the relationships. I loved her comment about getting to see Felicity and Sarah back together.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just the nice thing she said about us. It's reasons like that and fans like you, Justina, that we keep doing this and try to pump as much fun and energy into this show and keep the podcast going, because we know there's fans like all of you out there that still love it like we do. So thanks for sending that in. Next, as usual, our friend Erin has lots to say. Of course, she hasn't seen the finale yet. This is all about last week. What'd she have to say?
Well, Miss Erin writes in and says, first of all, regarding the banner photo that we had for the episode last week, she said, Lila, yay. We got a lot of positivity about Lila last week. Mm-hmm. She also talks about a quote that you had. You said, heroes won't kill in public, ooh, which I thought was a really good quote. And she says, all the more reason for Black Siren to be an anti-hero. Stop trying to redeem Black Siren.
Yeah.
She says that last week's episode was an overall good episode, except for Black Siren. She's very not thrilled about that and was not really looking forward to what they were going to do with Black Siren this episode. She said that the two teams working together felt very cliche. She knows what they were working for on paper, but emotionally it was a bit hollow. And she says she knows Diaz is important, but the fact that no one yelled when Curtis got hurt felt a bit inorganic. Yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest Curtis fan, but I kind of get where she's going from with a missed opportunity there. She agrees with you that it was very fun seeing Diaz be a brawler, the dirty side. She enjoyed that. And she says she's for the team reuniting as long as there's at least a full minute scene of Oliver apologizing to Dinah. So I'm hoping she enjoys that there was something akin to that in this episode. She also is not quite happy that Oliver has apologized to Renee twice, despite the fact that Renee caused the majority of the drama, and he hasn't really said much of anything to Dinah. And Dinah has, I mean, she kind of was caused the death of her fiance, but that was her causing a problem for her, not for anybody else really, other than her fiance. She really just deserves more like an apology and maybe some sympathy and another apology on top of that.
We're going to have to hear from Erin after the finale, because, of course, we won't have any more podcasts, so she'll have to just send us an email personally and share her thoughts on what she thought of the finale.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned for that. And she also says she's all for more Lila. She says she also thinks Flash would lose his mind if Roy and Dinah teamed up. He'd be passing out each week from excitement. Well, I think that that's actually a great possibility in season 7. You just might get that.
Highly likely.
She also says she can't really see Watson offering a sort of work for trade deal regarding Oliver perhaps working for the FBI. She thinks Watson just wanted to take Oliver down, which is true. And she also commented about the fact that I've been slipping in my pregnancy prediction each week. And I think I might do that again this week.
Yeah, and then she also liked that move Lila and Diggle did a couple times last week, the back-to-back protecting each other move. That was just so well choreographed. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping all the fans are really talking about it, and they look to get Lila back more next season.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, thank you, as always, Aaron. And what did we get? We got one little bit from Amanda Moon as well.
Yeah, we just had a very short update from Amanda Moon saying that there was a really fun interview with Katie Sackhoff, who plays Amunette Black, on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast. And she talks about her time on The Flash, some new shows, etc. So if anybody here also watches The Flash and wants to check that out, Amanda recommends it.
She's pretty cool, too. I met her when she was up here at one of the expos. She's a lot of fun.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for that pre-show feedback. Let's get into our favorite moments for the finale.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. So much to love in this episode for me. Those scenes in the holding room at the end with Felicity and Oliver. Oliver's tearful discussion with Lance in the hospital room. Every apology to the team that he made. All so good. So out of all of that, I'm going to go with two for the finale. And what I'm going to start off with, out of all of the apologies, the one to Dinah was the most important and impactful. And it was her reaction in response to him that really affected me as a viewer, because it showed just how hurt she was that she was accused, because she actually respected him so much and only ever wanted to help. You can hear it in her quivering voice as she responds. It really hit home to me, and you all know how much I hold a fan torch for her. So I just absolutely love this scene with Dinah, and that's the first one we're going to hear.
I know that you have put your vendetta aside for the sake of the mission.
And you want to make sure I keep it that way.
I want to say thank you. It takes a very big person to not see vengeance for someone they love. If I haven't always been sensitive to that, I'm truly sorry.
I'm sorry I was so hard on you. You know, the truth is, I respect you more than you could ever know. You put together a team of heroes. It's no small thing. I'm gonna go get ready.
All right.
Oh, see?
Yeah, you hear that little quiver.
Uh-huh. So that was, I think that's what she was needing from Oliver, and that just regained her respect for him by him coming to her about that. So I loved it. I loved it. That really just got me.
I thought that scene was really well written, and I had, you know, I mean, we'll get into this because you know how I like to sort of be critical and pick apart things, but I can't really pick that one apart because I saw somebody comment that it's quite short, you know, it's not one of his longer conversations that he had, and that not everything is really spelled out, you know, there's not this very long and clear apology on either side or anything like that, right? But for them and their characters, and I've mentioned this before, I think that they are both independent and sort of clash in a certain way, whereas many other characters on the show mesh in a certain way. And I liked that they kept this conversation short and simple and didn't try to add too much emotional language that's not true to either of the characters in general, and certainly not true to the way that they talk to each other. The emotion was there, sort of, you know, she was able to communicate that in the voice tremor and things like that, but they didn't add flowery language that these two who, you know, do not often like working together they wouldn't say things like that. It was authentic and clean. I liked that.
Yeah, they wouldn't fluff it up. And at the same time, too, the situation they were in, things were moving. There was. It's not like he had 10 minutes to sit and talk with her. This was an initial apology, a conversation, something to bridge the gap between them. And who knows, maybe a little bit more might come. Like, I agree with you. Both of them do not talk about their emotions very much. And so this was probably a lot for them to do, but it allowed them to express to each other how they were really feeling, and that, you know, there's some underlying stuff there that needed to be cleared out. And they did that. They accomplished that. This was a good start and a path to rebuilding whatever type of partnership might come after this. So I just thought it was so beautiful. Now, the second scene that I chose, I really have to let us have one final moment with a character that's been with us all six seasons. And the scene I mentioned earlier, the one with Oliver and Lance in the hospital, was just as heart-wrenching in a father-son bonding moment as the team finding out he's not going to make it. Stephen Amell's performance especially, you could tell he was drawing on his actual feelings of having to say goodbye to a co-star and a friend. Man, this one got to me. This is where my tears started before we found out that Lance wasn't going to make it. Watching Stephen Amell really tear up in this scene is the most emotional I think we have ever seen him get over anything. And that's why I say I think he was drawing on real life feelings that he's losing a friend and a co-star on the show. Powerful stuff. Here's that clip.
We do have a list of everyone that he's been controlling. FBI is rounding him up as we speak.
So we could take our city back.
Mm-hmm.
You did good, Oliver.
Thank you. It's not over yet.
It is for you. Am I wrong? You were doing Samantha Watson for months. There's no way she was going to help you without strings attached. But those strings, Oliver, that's a hell of a sacrifice.
I had to look at the way that I've been doing things. It's not working. I lost my city. I lost my team. There's a penance for that.
It just seems a little drastic.
Coming from the guy who just took a bullet for his daughter. Quentin, I hope I took the time to tell you. You're a really good father.
So are you.
I had a good example.
Yeah, your dad was a good man.
I'm not talking about my dad.
I'm sorry, but we have to take him to the OR now.
Well, when you get out, everyone will be here waiting for you.
Thanks, Oliver. For everything.
Oh, God, that brought tears to my eyes again.
Mm-hmm. That's sweet. They did such a good job with that scene.
And that, I just realized those were the last lines we heard from Lance, too.
Right? Because his death was technically off screen.
Yeah. And it's Stephen Amell's performance, man. That just the talking about, you know, having a good example of a father and... He was meaning Quentin. It's just, yeah. Like I said, I think he was drawing on real feelings there. That was the most powerful performance we've seen out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Just blew me away. Yeah.
Quentin Lance was such a good father throughout this whole series under A, such difficult conditions, and B, with so many sort of kids and pseudo kids and sort of kids. Yeah, it's going to be different without him.
Yeah. Well, while I compose myself, let's hear what you have to say for your favorite scene.
I chose Oliver's goodbye speech to the city.
Oh,
this, I think, was the culmination of all of the grand concepts that they were playing with, I guess, leading up to this finale. While, to be honest, at this point in the episode, going into his speech, I had sort of stopped buying into the premise of Oliver going to jail within the show in the greater Arrowverse. And then this speech brought me back around to how relevant and interesting the premise of him being jailed within his own city for the crimes he committed for the city in order to keep the city safe. how interesting that premise could be, followed by him walking into jail, of course, right after this moment with all the criminals that he put behind bars mm-hmm. to keep the city safe there. It made for such a dramatic, emotional moment that I would say it's one of, you know, perhaps two or three moments in this episode where I did get sucked into it. And I did, you know, forget any plot holes and forget any little critiques I might have. And I had what you always want with a story, of that feeling of just being it submerged in it, and you're in that world, and whatever that world considers realistic is realistic. And, you know, superheroes can exist and people can have meta powers and all of that. And that was such a great speech and so well done on his part as well. You know, it was a monologue, which is always fun. The villain side of the finale, as I've said, and that's just sort of my critique throughout this season, it was a series of lackluster moments for me. So it says something that the heroic ending sort of stole the show, and the premise, at least in the theoretical sense, of Oliver taking the fall for the team's crimes and still somehow hoping for the best for this city that's jailing him, that was so well executed in this speech. So that was the part I enjoyed the most.
Yeah, true heroic moment. And just the cutscenes that they were playing during his monologue was just, it really drove home some of the emotion of that, you know, compared to the things that he was saying. It just, all right, well, let's listen to it. Here it is.
Mr. Queen, why are you being arrested again?
I have voluntarily handed myself over to the FBI.
Can you comment any further?
Yes, I can. I am the Green Arrow. I realize that I've denied that claim with the same conviction with which I'm speaking now. I have let good people stand accused of things that I've done. Roy Harper is not the Green Arrow. Tommy Merlin is most certainly not the Green Arrow. These are two names on a long list of people who have given so much and sacrificed everything in the name of my crusade. Some of them gave their lives in the pursuit of one simple objective: to save our city. Star City still needs saving. Last night, we dealt our enemy a critical blow, but there is still work to be done. So I'm looking to the people of this city. I'm looking to my allies, to my friends, to my partners. And I'm asking them to continue, to keep fighting. I'm asking them to complete our mission. Save our city.
Now that is a heroic leader right there.
Right? I loved that ending. That pulled me back around and it got me excited for season 7. And in that moment, all of the little nitpicks. So anything I bring up this episode, just know that once I heard that, those kind of go out the window a bit and get me still excited for season 7.
So we'll replay that at the end?
I won't ignore the things that I wish would be changed. You know, that's how we show that we love a show, is we want more for it, or we want different, or we want to see more of this and less of that. You know, it shows we care. But, you know, kudos to them for bringing in that finale moment.
Oh, yeah. It was great. It was a great way to wrap up the season, even though a lot of people had some issues with the season and everything that we had to go through with the teams fighting each other and the FBI or whatever, all the things that people had issue with. I found that this episode really wrapped it up as best they could. Like I said, it wasn't perfect, but they still wrapped it up as best they could. And I felt like this season came to a close. It was complete. It finished off with, you know, questions being left for the future, but it's an end of a story. Now we're going to get something new for the new season, which, yes, kind of continues from where this one left off, but they solved a lot of the issues, and we've got a good platform to move forward from now. And I really appreciated that they were able to do that in only 42 minutes. So, Well, let's get into some of those 42 minutes because it's discussion point time, and I think we might have a little bit to say.
We do, I think. There's a bit to discuss in this finale. So I've sort of neatly divided it, as usual, between some villain talking points, some hero talking points, and then a little bit there at the end, looking forward to the next season. So yeah. I don't know. Do you think we should start with the villains?
We could. Let's do it.
We could. All right. So the episode opened with a pretty intense full team action scene, and it ended eventually with a fight scene that was, for the most part, just between Arrow and Dragon. What did you think of the physical fights throughout this hour?
I actually think everything was very raw and well choreographed, as most of the Arrow fights have been this season. This one was just raw, and that first attack on the police station for the opener, that set you up for what's to come the rest of the episode. It was just edge of your seat, the tension was thick, you knew stuff was on the line, and I saw some people, I think it was on her Facebook page, I think I saw someone complaining about that fight at the end with Diaz and Oliver not being very good. It was just kind of lackluster, and they were expecting Oliver to pull out some real fancy moves and all that kind of stuff. But I want you to look at the events leading up to that. Oliver is tired at that point because they just went out at an all-out assault, you know, at the bunker, whatever it was they were. There's a lot going on or whatever, and a lot of stuff happening by the time he gets to Diaz throughout the night. And he's a little bit worn down. He's not going to have the fancy moves. He's a bit, you know, he's a bit beat up. Look at how banged up he was throughout the episode. His face was all cut up and bruised. He's probably a little bit tired. So it's not going to be this crazy martial arts, you know, frenetic show of moves and stuff like that. It came down to a good old fashioned street brawl. And there was probably a little bit in the back of both of their heads, you know, I'm just going to punch this guy out kind of thing. I mean, Diaz pulled the knife, but Oliver disarmed him. He dropped the bow. Mm-hmm. It was fisticuffs, just good old street fisticuffs. Who could outpunch the other guy? And I appreciate that because it suited what type of villain Diaz is. And it allowed Oliver to, you know, basically drop the gloves, as the saying goes, and just go toe to toe with the guy. And this time Oliver took him down and he had him.
Yeah.
So, and we'll get to the rest of it later, but I just thought it was raw. Really, yeah. Really raw. And I just appreciated it, you know, being played out like that.
Yeah, the first fight scene in the police station I thought was interesting. It was a bit chaotic, but it's fine to open a finale chaotic. And then I like that it got pared down to just Oliver and Dragon at the end. Mm-hmm. And I like that Oliver took him down because, as I've been sort of saying all season, Oliver could very easily take this guy down. And if they tell me that he can't and that they're doing a disservice to everything they've tried to tell me about Oliver for the last six seasons, right? So it was nice to see that. But it felt a bit, and I don't mean this in a bad way, it felt a bit too easy when he was able to disarm him when he pulled the knife, right? Because you kind of expect Diaz at this point to pull a knife or to pull something dirty or unexpected in a fight, right? That's his MO. That's sort of the interesting hook about him. And I was sort of waiting, you know, what's his other move? What's the other unexpected thing he was going to pull? And I think I interpreted what happened, because I was expecting that, possibly a little different than maybe it was supposed to be, or maybe how others saw it. So let me tell you how I see it, and then you tell me if you think I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
So I was waiting for Diaz to pull his final other dirty thing in order to be able to get away, right? And at this point, it's pared down to just Oliver and him. And so he could pull a knife and he got disarmed, right? But that's expected. I expected him to be dirty and that he would bring in another person into a one-on-one fight. You know, it's the ultimate thing. You're not pulling a knife. It's a two-on-one. So when Siren showed up and she blew him off the bridge and he was then able to escape and he wasn't captured, I fully believed that Siren did that to help him escape. I thought she was just trying to save his life. And then she just sort of pretended she was just emotional in the moment, trying to kill him, but she was actually helping him escape because he would have otherwise been captured or killed. But I'm not sure if they meant for that. Did they mean for her to just seem good, or was this actually the final genius ploy from Dragon? Is, you know, she was with him all along and she helped him escape?
Well, I don't think so, because he had her caged up and he shot Lance in front of her. Well, I think he was aiming for her and Lance jumped in front of the bullet. So he was ready to kill her because he was threatening. He's going to splatter her brains all over Lance and stuff like that. So I think he was ready to kill her. So I don't think she was no longer working for him. And now at the same time, they're at his bunker, whatever that was, his hideout or factory or whatever it was.
Right.
He didn't see this coming. This was the one move that Oliver and the FBI got ahead of him on, because he had no idea Lance had a pacemaker that could be tracked. So he did not see this coming. For the first time, he was not two steps ahead of them. So when Oliver and company attacked, it threw him off. He was ill-prepared, and he was trying to get the heck out of there. So he had no backup plan. He had no way out of there that was pre-planned, which is why he got caught. Plus, he is also losing control. He is now over the top angry. He's also not making smart or wise decisions because his ferocity, he's furious, has gotten the best of him. So he's basically challenging Oliver. If you want to come get me, come get me. If you want to shoot me, shoot me. He's antagonizing him at that point, but Oliver also shot the phone out of his hand. And I think Dragon was just, he just lost at this point because they caught him off guard. He's been used to being two steps ahead. So he's also losing his edge. Oliver's a little bit tired at that point. And I think for Siren, I think she's also a little bit messed up because he had her cage. He was about to kill her. Instead, Lance got shot. Lance is in trouble. She just gets up there. In her mind, she's thinking they're high enough up. She might not even have known there was water off the other side there. Who knows? She just screamed to blow him off the roof, thinking he's not going to survive the fall, but he landed in the water. So I don't think there was any setup. I don't think there was any plan in place there. It was all everybody not in their right minds, and Oliver finally had the upper hand.
So you think it was just Siren was emotional and irrational in that moment?
Yep. And it's not that I disagree with you about the idea, because we all want Siren to still ultimately be the badass that she began to be. But they,
you know what, I realized I wanted more than anything, because of course I want her to stay a villain, right? You know, I love a good villainess. I think it was just, I wanted her to be, like you said, a badass and a mastermind. And even if that ended up being a badass mastermind for Team Arrow, or a badass mastermind for Team Dragon, or a badass mastermind for just herself, I just wanted her to be that. I wanted her to be powerful and cool and interesting. And it was just, I guess it was just disappointing that, you know, after seeing this scene and being really excited that maybe she was this final key ploy for Dragon, and then I was like, oh, are we supposed to think that she just accidentally helped him escape and she was just being emotional in the moment? And that was just kind of, it's a disappointing interpretation. So I think I was looking for a way around that. But if that's what it is, it is what it is.
Yeah, I know. There's all these hopes and wishes we had thought would go a different way. But I really think they changed her character, and it was a halfway attempt at redeeming her and giving Lance something, you know, a daughter again. I don't know. It's just, they wrote themselves into that corner, and there's no way out of it. That would have been, I guess, believable or really taken very well. And they just had to, I mean, we're not done with her. She's there in the hospital when he dies. She got to see Sarah. We have no idea if she has her own version of Sarah on Earth too. It kind of gave me the idea that she doesn't, because she was asking Sarah like, oh, this is kind of weird for you, isn't it? So I'm thinking she doesn't have her own sister, Sarah. There's obviously what's going to happen with her next season. That's a story point left open.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Very true. Well, let's talk a little bit about Anatoly. Because Anatoly turns on Dragon as well, leaving sort of Dragon's whole army disbanded, certainly disbanded by the end of the episode. We see the government officials he's had paid off, tackled, and, you know, we see, you know, as we've already discussed, Siren most likely staying against him. But Anatoly was the one that was sort of finally revealed this episode to turn on him. What did you think of that?
With Anatoly, I was actually worried with that scene in the car when he faked speaking Russian to talking to his sister. I don't think he covered very well there. I think he was caught off guard himself, and Diaz saw right through it. And it was at that exact point that Diaz began playing him, because he's already suspected Anatoly, and he caught him there because he proved later on that he can speak Russian. So I think he figured it out, and he started playing Anatoly at that point. So as for his army, I think he lost half of it last episode. And then having the FBI put the heroes ahead in the numbers in the all, like, I guess in the street war, having the FBI there now gave them the numbers to be able to overtake Diaz, because they already lost half his army last episode. So it was kind of fun to see the tide turn in the final episode. And that's what I mean. It gave the heroes the upper hand for the first time all season long. We had the upper hand.
Yeah, I liked seeing him turn on Dragon just because it gave us more of a glimpse of the independent and in charge Anatoly, right?
Yeah, exactly. Although it was kind of funny though, when he came into the police station, he's like, excuse me, I am Anatoly, and I'm here. Like, he's in this high pitched squeaky voice and he's smiling, and I was like, what?
Right.
Who is this guy? It just didn't feel like him. And then he finally settled down, but yeah, it was a bit strange.
Absolutely. So this might be an odd one to include under the villain section. You tell me if you think that this is bad to include Miss Samantha Watson under the villain section, but she's sort of an antagonist to the hero. So I felt she fits here to talk about her FBI storyline and goals. Did this go as you expected? What did you think? Because I know you've been kind of up and down about her character.
Well, I liked her initially when they first introduced her, and then the way they...
Same. I loved her.
Yeah, and the way they wrote her out early on, I didn't appreciate that. That whole episode where she marches in at the that public event where they're feeding the homeless and stuff, and she, like, I hated that whole sequence, and we never got her back again after that. But I think in this episode, well, the last two episodes, I mean, she really only showed up at the last few seconds last week, but... This is the one area they didn't flesh out very well and very much at all. Bringing her back with only an episode to go really doesn't give enough time to find out what happened to her the last 15 episodes that she's been gone. What I did like, though, was seeing that the FBI and her are able to see the greater problem. The city is overrun by criminals, and that helping Team Arrow is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. It had to happen like that, because the FBI is like... You know, it's like the government version of the police force. They're over and above. They can come in and overtake any jurisdiction they want. And, you know, they're the authority. So, yeah, they better come in and help a city that's being torn apart by a criminal organization. Never mind your personal vendetta to grab a couple of vigilantes running around. You better save the city. So I loved that they actually put the FBI in, I guess you could say, a heroic light, but more it's just in their duty. They have to perform their duty. That's their duty to the public and duty to the city. So that's what I really appreciated, even though we didn't get enough time to flesh out Samantha and where the heck she's been and what's going on. That seemed very shoehorned into me. I just really liked what they did with the FBI.
Yeah, I always thought Samantha's character, especially in the beginning, I loved her as well. It was so interesting because she represents the concept of justice without mercy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, although the prosecution was a bit corrupt during Oliver's trial, they did have a lot of points on their side. You know, as Oliver says himself in the end speech, there are times where he's subverted justice, broken the law, you know, committed crimes, used his office against policy, you know, so on, let other people take the fall for his crimes. Mm-hmm. And justice without mercy, which is what Samantha represents, would say that he does need to go to jail. Whereas, you know, as we saw in the crossover, the actual president in Arrowverse has already pardoned him. So it's this interesting contrast. I do call it a plot hole, but it is also an interesting contrast between the two ways to approach it. And it was good to see a perspective like Samantha's communicated throughout a season, because it lets us actually think through these concepts of what actually differentiates between just a legal hero, like a lawyer or police officer, and a vigilante hero, and how Oliver is differentiated from them because he is openly willing to break the law or change the law or manipulate the law because he believes in some sort of greater good. It's an end justifies the means type of situation. And we really have to think through how we feel about that. And if that's an approach that they want to continue to use on this show. And if so, does that still have an element of heroism in it? I would say it does, but some who might side a bit more with Samantha might say that the whole premise of the ends justifying the means might not be a heroic approach. I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, let me put a spin on it like this, because you keep referencing the presidential thing in the crossover. Yeah. If you look at it like this, when that happened, they were saving the world basically from a greater threat. And yes, at that moment, they were everybody, Flash, Arrow, Legends, they were all seen as heroes because they were saving the world from like a crazy attack force. So they look like heroes. The president is like, hey, yeah, you guys are heroes. You're all fine by me. But at that moment, we didn't know that Oliver was a murderer, because after that point, Samantha starts investigating him, saying, hey, you've actually committed some crimes. You're not as good as you think, and you're not allowed to get away with it. So I'm going to come after you. I'm going to investigate you. And once I prove it, then you're going to go to jail. So that actually comes after everything that happened in the crossover event. So it's like they're investigating him now to find out, okay, well, maybe Oliver isn't so much of the hero we put him up on stage for to begin with. Let's get some evidence and prove that he's broken the law, and then he's got to pay for that. Mm-hmm. That could be really what's happened. It's just a chain of events.
Yeah. Maybe. Hmm. Maybe. I don't know. I think the main conflict here, there's two approaches they could have taken to make the end sort of makes sense to me. I think they could have had a big reveal at the end, literally in the final seconds, you know, when they were showing that Dragon was still alive. They could have shown Samantha walk in and you find out that she was actually working for Dragon the whole time. That could have been really interesting. Another approach they could have taken was just simply not having her represent the federal level quite as much. Maybe show that she, you know, is trying to get in on the federal level, but she's a local level, you know, investigative agent of some kind. And that would make more sense that Oliver's then going to prison in his own city rather than going to like a federal level supermax.
Well,
and that would be more also symbolic, because of course he's going to jail in the city that he protected. So having her be local, because the whole premise of this is very much based on him versus Star City, maybe could have explained the fact that on the federal level he was pardoned, but these are local crimes. I don't know. There's some ways they could have gotten around it.
I'm going to totally counter all of that, because all season long you guys have been complaining and saying that it's totally it's not believable and not realistic that Dragon could control the entire city and the police force and the city officials and all. It's just too much. How can that guy grab so much control? And now you want to throw in, give him control that he can buy out an FBI agent as well. That would push it way too far. You guys would quit and leave and just throw everything up in the air. Like, come on.
Oh, I would never leave this show. It's too real.
That's so unrealistic. He can't buy out an FBI like that. That to me would be going too far.
I think if he had bought out one FBI agent, not necessarily bought her out, but have her genuinely be on his side. Honestly, the buyout part is kind of an issue I had with Dragon this whole time, because he was just sort of buying out and bribing people and they weren't turning on him. Whereas when you have a villain where somebody else is actually on their side, that's when it's formidable, because even if the villain themselves, if they die, somebody else will take up the mantle and continue the whole process. And my whole issue with Dragon is it didn't really seem like there were that many people who really bought into his mission and who were truly believing in his mission. They were there because he either blackmailed them, had control over them, bought them out, whatever. It was just a different approach. And for some, it might work. And for me, that wasn't as interesting. So if Samantha had actually believed in his mission or had her own vendetta against Oliver to the point where she was willing to partner with Dragon, that might have been interesting. Or keep her character authentic to what we're presented as, and that she's just justice without mercy, which is interesting. But maybe just explain a little bit, or at least an attempt, a throwaway line for why he was just pardoned on the federal level and prosecuted on the federal level within the same season. I don't know. Maybe just a line, just one line explaining it. It's okay, though.
Like a villain that's never fully satisfied. You're just like Dragon. You always want more.
Yeah. Well, us villains have to stick together and also rip each other apart, I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the heroes, though, because there were a lot of heroes in this episode. And like I mentioned before, the heroes admittedly did steal the show for me this episode. Yeah. The team continues to work together as Oliver goes on a bit of a goodbye tour / apology tour, in the words of Felicity. You mentioned your favorite moment or your favorite one-on-ones were with Quentin and with Dinah. What did you think of some of the other ones?
Yeah, well, you know my favorite was with Dinah, of course. I also really liked Oliver and Diggle and having Felicity see them bro it back up. I mean, people were complaining over the last couple of episodes why they never saw those two make up and figure a way out. And I was explaining that it's because they are bros, you know, brothers in arms, and they've got such a history together that they might also not have to get all tearful and emotional with each other, but it will just take a little bit. And that's what we got with this episode. It was just a quick little thing. Oliver's presenting him with a suit, and they, you know, expressed, they kind of were able to more clearly explain themselves, and they shook on it, and that's all it really took. But Felicity got to witness it, and it made her smile. That's what she wanted to see. Her family is back together, and, you know, it was a great little moment. Didn't need to be that in depth between those two. I also really liked Oliver and Renee. That actually made me happy. I thought it was well acted between both of them, well written for both characters, to give us as viewers a feeling of forgiveness and respect for both characters and both sides. Rick Gonzalez, he really acted so strong in this episode. The scene when he was trapped by lasers was a pretty tense moment. I'll get back to that in a sec, but just his acting with Oliver, it was very believable. And that's what brought me to be okay with it. I don't mind them at all apologizing to each other. They both stepped up to the plate, said what they needed to say, and they both said, like, you know, this, I love how he responded to Oliver when he said, you know, I know you guys don't think I care about what anyone says, but what you just said means a heck of a lot to me. It was perfect for his character, and it really sowed some repair threads there, I think. I also really liked when Felicity picked up on Oliver doing the rounds with everyone, as you said, the apology tour. I love that she noticed that, and she confronted him about it, saying, like, what's going on? Like, it's great that we're watching his viewers going, what is he doing? Why is he doing all this? But the fact that she picked up on it was really, really cool. And I know that people are questioning why he didn't tell her. I saw that all over the Facebook page. But I want to just iterate here that he had to keep it secret from everyone so that no one gave it away, because we know that the team is going to go and do something stupid because they all would disagree with his choice. So he had to prevent them from doing that. And the only way he could is by not telling anyone. He had to allow the events to play out so that everything would succeed.
Yeah. I mean, I see both sides to that. And I love a dramatic moment. So I appreciate that him keeping it a secret did lead to a dramatic, devastating reveal. You know, it's that kind of show. We want those moments. I do also appreciate the side that this season, the character development for all the characters, but especially, I believe for Oliver, Diggle, Dinah, Am I forgetting? All of them had storylines that were largely based on them learning to not keep secrets and to learn to work mm-hmm. with others. So I do understand the perspective that this was an opportunity for them to show him doing that and for him to have a moment, maybe addressing the whole team all at the same time, expressing what he was going to do and asking as a leader for like this one last bit of respect of the only thing he asks is that you don't try to stop him. It wouldn't have been quite as dramatic. And of course, as you said, we know that this team might have still tried to disregard his wishes and tried to save him anyways, or maybe they wouldn't. You know, it just depends on how well they write the team's reaction to that. So I could see both ways going well. And they chose the way with a dramatic reveal, and I understand that. It's that kind of show. We love drama. We love big moments. We love a devastating arrest at the same time as a devastating death, you know, and pile up all of the drama at the same time. And that's an approach as well. And I don't hate it. It's not what I would have chosen, but it wasn't bad.
Well, I fully stand by the fact that I know the team would have reacted poorly to it. You look at even after the reveal and after he got taken away, look at how Felicity reacted. She came marching in there. Me and Diggle had a plan. We're going to break you out of here. And he's like, you can't, because
can't call that reacting poorly. That was fantastic. That's exactly how we would want the team to react. We wouldn't want them to actually do it, of course, if we want Oliver to go to jail. But
that's exactly why, though.
I would be so miffed if they didn't react that way. Of course they're going to work together to try to break him out of jail. But they stopped when he asked them not to. You know what I mean? Like, when he said no, she didn't break him out against his will, which she fully could have. You know, she did that in Nanda Parbat. She broke him out against his will.
It does not matter, because if he told them, they would have reacted that exact way during the mission, during when everything was critical, and it would have messed everything up. He made the right decision. I am totally on his side. I back his play 100% here, because they would have, just based on the way she reacted, even still, she wanted to throw all their immunities out the window, put everybody in the spotlight and in danger by not following his orders and breaking that jail.
She was just going to break everybody up. They were going to hightail it out of the city.
No,
I mean,
they would have made him a fugitive, and would have been worse. It would have been worse.
Do you think fugitive is worse than a life sentence? That's also an interesting question. I don't know where I stand on that one.
Yeah, because he's saving the city here. Like, this is the big difference here.
If he was a fugitive, would the FBI have left the city to drag in, you think?
Well, I'm saying that he sacrificed himself to save and protect them and the city. To me, it's a true leader move.
Yeah.
And that this is what he has done. He protected his team ultimately, and he's sacrificing one person instead of all of them.
I think it would have been maybe interesting, because I'm just trying to think of what would have happened if he didn't do this. And I don't mind that he did this. Like I said, I chose that as my favorite moment, him, you know, telling the city what he was doing. But if he hadn't have done that, if he had been broken out, you know, by Felicity and Diggle, as they were offering to do, as of course they should offer to do, and all of the team had sort of been on the run together, and Star City had been left alone, there's the question of, A, what would this whole team sort of do on the run together, you know, forced to be together and escape FBI custody? And also, would the FBI have reacted to that by just leaving Star City to Dragon, or would they have stayed behind anyways and rescued the city?
I mean, that could be an interesting idea based on the, you know, the city.
Just two very different paths.
The city isn't appreciating him right now, so the team goes on the run, and you know, like that story we know moves to Seattle, and they start protecting Seattle for a little bit. I mean, that could be a fun different change for the entire Arrowverse as a whole. That could be a fun change. But it also, if they broke him out of prison and all that, that would also add more unrealistic events to this episode, which I don't want them piling up. I don't want it to become so believable. This was heartfelt. This was dramatic and emotional. It was very believable and real in the sense that he committed some crimes and he's going to pay for those crimes, at the same time getting protection for his family and his friends. If you break him out of jail, we've seen that before. We've seen the breakos. They broke Diggle out. They broke Roy.
I remember seeing those comments on our Facebook page and on Twitter about every single person in the world has broken out of this jail. Like, you can't even take Oliver being in there like seriously, because he's just choosing to stay in there. Anybody could phase him out at this point.
So, yeah. So I just think that would add to it. I am really, really behind what they did. I think it's for as real as you can get in a comic book TV show. I liked the solid groundness of that. It's very grounded. And
well, speaking of grounded, that kind of leads to one of my final questions about the team. Other than the brief appearance by Sarah, the team mostly worked insularly. Wow. I'm stumbling on my own word. Did you enjoy the role each hero played in this team? Did you like that it was pretty much just the team working together? No Malcolm Merlin popping in to help, no Flash or Legends coming in to help.
Well, there's so many things that I liked about it. Like, even just backing up a little bit here, I loved near the end when Oliver showed his new armband gear that Felicity cooked up to clone the drive. Yes. If he got close enough to Dragon. That was cool. That was forward thinking. It was a cool piece of tech. Oliver got into a hand-to-hand fight with him, and it kept him in close range long enough to clone it. Very, very cool. Love that. I want to admit that I was truly worried about Wild Dog when he was trapped in that laser grid, like I mentioned a few moments ago. Not only did we see him be raw with his emotions when he was thinking about Zoe, but to see him realize that that was his last moments alive, it was really hard to watch. I thought we were going to lose him there. And as much as you may have hated him all season long, it was still a hard scene to see him basically give in to the idea that he is going to be gone. And all he could think about was saying goodbye to his daughter and let her know how he feels. That was a powerful moment for Wild Dog. That was probably one of his greatest moments he's had all season long.
I thought he was going to die there as well. And I thought it was going to parallel Oliver's sacrifice. So Oliver was sacrificing, of course, his life metaphorically, life sentence for the team. And I thought that in the end was going to be sort of a point of inspiration for Wild Dog, that he would in some way be saving the team or part of the team, or perhaps just Curtis and Dinah or something like that. And that he would die in the process, and it would be sort of his sacrifice as well, showing Oliver's inspiration to others and that whole thing. I figured that his daughter was going to be left to Curtis. I had this whole sort of expectation. So I was pretty surprised to see him live. In the end, I still don't love Renee. I'm fine with the fact that they've put clear effort and work into writing a redemption for him. I see that. Kudos to that. I'm happy that he's redeemed. He's still not a fave. Still don't love him, but kudos to the actor.
Yeah.
No, that was a great job in the scene.
Could you imagine how jaw-dropping of a shock would that be if they blew up that whole building, taking out Renee and Samantha and the other FBI agents everyone outside to witness it? That would have been jaw-dropping. Like, holy crap, they just did that. Other things. I mean, we didn't get a lot of Diggle, and we actually didn't get a lot of Renee or Curtis. Even had, I think, the least bit of time on there. Just really quick cuts of them fighting and stuff. But what I was happy to see was Dinah get a lot more to do this time. She had some great fight scenes, mixing her canary cry with her close quarter hand to hand combat. That was a lot of fun. And then I loved the scene with her and Siren getting Lance out and working together, hearing their two screams, how different they are. Like, I did the little scream matchup a while ago. Seeing them back to back, it was just really, really cool. And that moment when Dinah swings her staff at her and just snaps the collar off her neck, and seeing the look on Siren's face, that was such a priceless moment, because I didn't expect that either. So it was a very cool moment. And then back to Sarah showing up at the end. It was good to see her on Arrow again, because, I mean, this is where it all started. And I thought, as most probably everybody did, that she was going to come to help in the fight. We all knew she was guest starring on this episode. I thought she was going to be there for the whole episode and help them fight. But then if she did that, why wouldn't she just bring the rest of the Legends team to help in the fight? So, of course, she was only coming in the end for Lance's exit. It's a nice touch that they add, and they bring her in there because she is his only living flesh and blood daughter. So it was nice that they got to bring her in to say goodbye, even though she actually missed him.
Yeah.
Truly. And then I just wanted to throw in, if he's still out there listening to us, Podcast Overlord Kevin, he's going to have a good laugh at this, because all during Sarah's run on Arrow, I complained about how horrible she was, like Katie Lotz, how horrible her acting was compared to the rest of the crew, because the rest of them had already got a couple seasons under their belts and she was new to the team and her acting was just not up to snuff. I just wanted to say that this episode of her being on Arrow was some of her best acting she ever had on Arrow, because she's been really good on Legends. She really developed her skills on Legends, but it's, I thought that was funny that as for her Arrow appearances, this was her best performance ever.
I think the Sarah side of it, it was simultaneously one of the highlights and one of the lowlights, downfalls of this episode. Because I loved seeing Sarah return, and you know, as Justina mentioned in the feedback, the hug with her and Felicity, and there's all these moments where it's just, yeah, it draws you back to those early seasons. Mm-hmm. And you know, as you said, Katie did a lovely job with the acting, but it sort of it ties into the disappointment I had with how Quentin's exit was written, because it sort of reminds us that all season we've been seeing Quentin sort of spiraling downward, going crazy for somebody who is not his daughter and who was, you know, as she was written at the time, a sociopathic, you know, villain, as much as I love sociopathic villains. Yeah. And in the end, we didn't get to see a goodbye scene between him and his actual daughter. And it was appropriate in a sad way that we didn't get to see that, because we've spent his whole last season on a storyline that, you know, I think you and a lot of our listeners have repeatedly called this a disservice to his character, this final storyline.
Yep.
And we didn't get to see him actually say goodbye to his regular daughter, his real daughter, the one who's still alive, who he cares very much about, and who those of us who watched and cared about the early seasons know quite a lot about. And also it kind of shows how much time, not just in this episode, but certainly in this episode, and also in this season overall, has been spent on a storyline for him that in the end, when we finally do get a couple good moments of him saying goodbye to Oliver, we get a scene with him and Renee as a nod to a storyline he had previously had with Renee. And we get a hint at a could have been scene with him and Sarah. We're just sort of reminded of what could have been, both in this episode and in the season overall. And I guess the part that was most sad to me about his death, because of course we can't really be that sad about death on this show. Actors leave and they go on, and Paul Blackthorne has a fantastic opportunity on a show on NBC coming up, and we're excited for him in that sense. It's just sad that he went out after a storyline that I think was not the right storyline either for him or for Siren. And
no.
Yeah.
But I really don't know how they could have written themselves out of that one too. That between Siren's story and Lance's story, they got themselves stuck in a corner or stuck in a rut. And I don't think there would have been any plausible way to get them out of it other than him, yeah, like her turning to be super evil and him finally realizing it and he kills her or something, you know, whatever, anything along those lines.
It's that just, would have been devastatingly shocking, but yeah, that would have been kind of cool, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did shoot her. Remember way back on Lian Yu in the building, he actually shoots her.
Yeah.
So
true.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's unfortunate. I agree with you. It's unfortunate that he had to go out after having a pretty awful storyline this season, but it's still sad to lose a character that we've thought to be part of the family for so long.
And we can remember all the good storylines he had in the previous seasons that we've loved.
Yeah, I mean, I always liked him just as being a street cop.
Yes,
that's when I liked him the most. But, you know, his character had to grow too. He had to, you know, rise up the ranks and all that kind of stuff, which is fine. It's just,
I love the storyline that he had in a previous season where he and Thea worked closely together and they sort of developed that father-daughter bond as well. That was lovely.
Yeah. Now with Katie not getting to say goodbye to him, I mean, it's awful. It still played well for me because me personally, in my real life, I did not get back home to Toronto in time to say goodbye to my grandma. So I really felt,
Well,
it's okay. It was quite a few years ago now, but that just pulling on the emotion of how it felt, that made me feel for Sarah so much more because she didn't get there in time. And I know everyone's going to make jokes out there, but she's on a time machine. Blah, blah, blah. She, you know.
But it's Arrow, and Arrow doesn't really do that much. They deal with more of that realism that you're describing.
And
you're right.
The other question that's unanswerable right now is, how does Siren get a hold of Sarah on the Wave Rider? I have no idea. I have no answer to that. I do not know how that came about. Let's just let that one be a hand-wavy moment, because
she grabbed somebody's phone and looked up her number or something.
Maybe,
it'll be fine.
But what a weird moment for, just to touch on it, when Katie actually came running down the hall, or Katie, I should say, when Sarah comes running down the hall and runs into Laurel, part two, or point two, I can't imagine what that would have felt like for her, because I don't know if they've ever met. Has Sarah ever met Earth 2 Laurel? I don't know.
No, she hasn't.
So you could see by the look on her face.
Because I believe she's referenced in one of the crossovers. So she would, you know, from Cross Team Intel, she would know that there's an evil version of Laurel out there that she would have heard of before in previous missions.
But you could see the look on her face. She was extremely overjoyed to see her. She was happy to see her at the moment. And that's why she asked, are you like my Laurel? Like, because I think she was hoping for some type of reconnection as well, like Lance was looking for. So who knows where that's going to lead to. I mean, the show ends with them at the hospital together. So who knows what's coming down the future for that, if that's going to be something they look into a little farther. Who knows?
Well, I guess if they are going the route of redeeming Laurel, I think that, or Siren, I guess I should call her, I think that that makes her sort of a perfect fit for Legends, huh? Because they're all kind of ex-cons, ex-bad guys, anti-heroes over there. She would fit in perfectly, and she would be on there with her sister.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
We'll see.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what we think, just very briefly, because obviously we don't have much theories and we don't know anything about season 7, but just what we think about this end and going forward, because the villain's not captured, but his associates are taken down. The city is being restored via FBI aid. However, in terms of just the Dragon versus Oliver fight, Dragon is free and Oliver is in jail. So who would you say won?
I still think the momentum definitely swung to the hero's side. Like I said before, the FBI gave them the numbers to overthrow Dragon's army, what was left of it. Dragon lost all of his control and most of his people. They rounded up everybody that he was either bribing or holding hostage in some way or whatever. So he has to do something else now, which leads into the Longbow Hunters that got dropped. Instead of having an army, he'll maybe go more covert with them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, I will have to call on Bat Jordan to fill us in on a bit of the Longbow Hunter story. I have the three-issue special event comics of the Longbow Hunters. I will dig them up and post a picture on the Facebook page. I'm going to read them myself and see what that story has to take or where it goes, so we might have an idea of what next season is. But I think the city can now be rebuilt under the FBI's watch, and the heroes can keep going doing their thing. As for Oliver in jail, it's up in the air as to where that goes into next season. We know there's a 7-month time jump. So
we
will see where he's at inside the prison, I'm imagining. And what I wonder is if we will have Oliver in prison for a few episodes at least to start off next season, or will it be he's being released for some other reason or who knows what? Or, like I said, will he be in the prison for a few episodes showing that he has to survive against some of those inmates that are out to get him? That could be kind of interesting, having a bit of a prison break type of, you know, a few shows.
I loved Prison Break so much. I appreciate that reference.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a good show.
Yeah. But
I've got like a whole theory built for what I think will be season 7.
Okay.
I think that
call your shot now.
Yeah, here we go. That's what I think. I think that, as you said, it will open with him in prison, possibly for a couple episodes. Maybe it'll just, you know, be at the end of the first episode that he gets the first visit from probably Samantha or somebody like that, offering him sort of a Suicide Squad type of opportunity. They made a lot of references, especially at the end of the season, to the fact that he has ties to Anatoly and the Bratva. And I'm wondering if they're going to present him an opportunity to get parole or something like that if he does some sort of high-risk, nearly Suicide Squad-esque missions for the FBI, in which he would have to be sort of covertly taken out of jail and goes undercover, maybe with the Bratva or something like that, to capture somebody.
I alluded to that last week.
Yeah, to sort of escape, to sort of help, you know, he'll be sort of out of prison and help them capture somebody. And in return, he'll possibly get parole. It'll probably be a super high risk mission. So there'd have to be a really good reason for him to be willing to do that. And I'm guessing that reason will be he wants parole in time for his kid to be born.
There you go again.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm still hanging on to that theory.
Well, that's fun. That's interesting ideas for next season. I think it's hard to say what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm going to revisit the comic books and see what ideas they might have. I mean, I'm not even sure if Dragon and the Hunters will be the main villains right off the start, but I wouldn't be surprised. I just hope that if that is the case, viewers that weren't sure about Dragon don't get discouraged and upset. I want to say, let it play out. Dragon is over the top angry now, and we saw him on the ground with his tattoos and like in some type of really aggressive, angry posture. I'm guessing that he's going to dive more deeply into his training even more and use the hunters in an unpredictable way. And I'm actually really excited to see it. I can't wait, because that maybe we didn't have the full version of Dragon that people know from the comic books. Maybe in the 7 month time gap, he has gone into some serious training, like I said, and
so
did something.
This season sort of serves as an origin story for him.
Essentially, yeah. And because, yeah. Like I brought up in some research at the very beginning of the season when we found out Dragon was coming on board, I looked him up and it was all about the Longbow Hunters and Dragon using them as a revenge, because I think the Green Arrow kills his father or something like that. So there's something in there. So this could be, whether it wasn't killing his father, but it's beating him out of the city. So Dragon is going to go into training and come back as a force to reckon with and be a lot crazier. Like I said, he's over the top angry now. So that could be as if he was getting angry for losing his father. He's getting angry at this instance instead. And this is what pushes him to become the Dragon that we know from the comic books.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, I know I've been quite hard on Dragon this season, and frankly, I'm not letting up for the finale, but for next season, we're going to have a very different writer's room and a completely different showrunner. So if, you know, for I think a pretty good chunk of the viewer audience, if you're like me where you weren't really sold on his portrayal, it's likely going to be totally different next season. So we kind of can start fresh. I don't think I'm going to carry over my Dragon grudges from this season to next season. I don't know about you guys.
No, I'm excited to see. I can't wait. So we'll see what they do. Like I said, just remember, 7 month jump in time is coming.
Yes.
So anything can happen.
Absolutely.
Well, let's see what our feedback people have to say this week for the finale. Let's kick it off with an email from I'm Just Here for Felicity. What she have to say?
She opens with a comment that I think you'll enjoy. She says, can we just have Dinah do all of the fight scenes, because she killed it in the opening.
Totally.
Then she also says, too little too late with the second suit, Oliver. And she gives a quote she enjoyed. I'm ready to come down on him like God's righteous fury. A great line by Watson. She also loves when Felicity whispered, quote, when they're not being hacked. She also says, and I appreciate this, she says, how many times is Oliver going to apologize to Renee before Renee apologizes to him once? Also, Quentin killing Watson's plan like he's killed evil Laurel. At this point, Quentin, I'm not going to be sad to see you go, but I am going to be sad to see the redeemed Laurel that you're leaving behind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She also says, Dinah, you don't owe Oliver an apology. Very true. She says, boo to Laurel calling Quentin daddy. That never got less creepy. That stayed creepy the entire season. She also says, the canaries scene would have been so much better if it had not involved Quentin. Then again, Laurel facing Diaz would have been better if Quentin had not been involved. Mm-hmm. Very true. She says, I love and hate the rooftop scene with Laurel because, again, it would have been so good if she wasn't influenced by Quentin. But it was a cool scene, so I'm left conflicted. Laurel 2.0 is not Quentin's daughter. You can say it all you want, show, but it doesn't make it true at this point. Speaking of which, how is she not in FBI lockup after everything? That's an excellent question.
Yeah.
She also said, I mean, that was a plot hole all throughout when she was claiming that she was Laurel Lance, Black Canary, yeah. And they weren't going after her. That was wild, but whatever. She also says, how can you not tell your wife you're going to jail, Oliver? Yeah, that was a bit cruel. And she says, a lot of predictability in this end act. I'd have to say I did love Sarah hugging Felicity instead of Laurel, though. I too appreciate that. I was afraid they were going to fake some sort of sisterhood between Sarah and Siren, which would have just been a bit annoying. And then she also says, my poor Felicity. Well, next season's going to be interesting, given Oliver has outed himself. I'm still not sure how that's going to work long term, because doesn't that just put a bigger target on everybody's back? Because we know he'll suit up again, and even if he doesn't, he's got criminals who will come after his family now that they know who he is. Congratulations to everyone who guessed a correct plot point. The fans basically guessed the episode true, I think, except poor Cammy, who didn't get her Felicity baby. Maybe next year, Cammy. I still think that she's pregnant. I think Felicity's currently pregnant, and next season will open with her pregnant. Put a pin in it. Overall, she says, a low good episode. I would have rated it higher, but nothing really changed from before. It seems going into season 7. Also, I disliked everything involving Quentin.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's too bad. I mean, a 7 is okay, but it's that's okay. Hopefully you stick around for season 7. Well, like Cammy said, there's a whole new production team behind it, so we'll see what happens next season.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. And now we've got a voicemail from X-Force 11, Jeff Gentry. Let's see what he says.
Hello, Flash and Chameleon. This is Jeff, X-Force 11, leaving my feedback for the season finale. They said it was going to be a quite different season finale than what we're used to, and they were entirely correct. I enjoyed seeing the team work together. I enjoyed seeing fences mended and a good, not happy, but a good exit for Lance. I think it really opened some doors for the Black Siren to kind of take up a different reality of what she's used to, whether it's on this earth or not. The whole, you know, I knew Longbow Hunters was a hint for what they're going to do next season, but I still don't understand why Ollie's going to be in general population. I don't see why there's not another way around it, but I'm going to leave it till next season and see what they do. I think a lot of the last couple episodes have been damage control for what the writers did earlier in the season with the breakup of the teams. And I'm not sure that it really pays off. I still don't agree with the whole new versus old teams and that kind of stuff. For me, that storyline didn't work out at all. I'm still dissatisfied with it. Mm-hmm. You know, some people had a problem with the magic on Arrow a couple seasons ago. For me, it's really this season with the us versus them, and I just don't agree with the writers what they did. All right, those are my thoughts. X-Force 11 out.
Thanks, Jeff. Damage control is a good way to describe some of the stuff that went on this episode. I call it
Definitely. Wrapping
up, you know, story points to just move forward. He calls it damage control. It's another way you could look at it for the people that were a little bit upset with the way some of these things went. But
yeah,
Glad
you're wrapping things up is, you know, it's in a good way, damage control, because if you leave something going too long, you know, it turns into people aren't invested in it anymore. They don't care as much. So knowing the right time to sort of tie up storylines, even if it's not perfectly, you just kind of cut your losses, is a good thing.
Yeah. And you also have to remember, production wise, it's not like they just finished filming the episode that week that is being aired. They're like 8 episodes ahead. So if in order for them to find out that fans are not appreciating a storyline or where things are going, they've already got 8 episodes filmed, so they can't fix it right away. It takes a while for changes to work their way in and for them to be able to react to fan reactions. So you got to keep that in mind, that things aren't going to happen right away, because you could complain all you want the week the episode's aired, but it's too late for them to do anything about it. They can listen to what fans are saying and course correct farther down the line. So
very true. Very true.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. Hopefully you stick around for next season and keep on coming around. Always good to have your thoughts, whether they're with us or not. We still love having you. Next up is an email from Christy, and she says, "It seems like the writers have written themselves into a massive hole. Oh, realistically, Oliver has to get out at some point, certainly by the crossover, but they've established that everyone else would be arrested if he did. If Diaz is captured, that means the FBI wouldn't need to protect Star City. Does that change the terms of the deal, which would allow him to escape?" Yeah. Good question. "My one biggest gripe with this finale is how Diaz got away. If Black Siren was trying to get revenge for Diaz shooting Lance, she failed miserably. She seemed pretty distraught over him being shot, so I don't buy that she wanted Diaz to get away unless she's playing the longest con ever." Mm. Yeah, that's what I mean. I think she's just distraught. "Bringing Sarah back shows there's at least a little heart inside of her. This episode had many great moments as well. Number one, the two canaries working side by side to get Lance to safety. Number two, the emotional wreckage that occurred when everyone found out that Lance died and that Oliver sacrificed himself. Oliver is such a true hero that it's hard to believe the team members he saved ever turned against him in the first place." Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I liked about this episode. This really, really highlighted Oliver being a leader and a true hero. I think that was his journey this season, was figuring out how to be a leader and be the hero that everyone, you know, wants him to be. I think that was his ultimate journey this season, and it paid off in the end for me.
Yeah.
Point three, the interrogation room scene was so tough to watch, but so well acted by Steven and Emily. I question him not telling Felicity ahead of time, but he knew the team would do something that would nullify his deal and leave the city vulnerable to Diaz. Yes. Thank you for agreeing with me on that point. Number four, Oliver being the bigger man and making peace with Dinah, Diggle, and Renee. I did find it hilarious that in the continuity of this show, Diggle had apparently been stretching out the seams of Oliver's suit earlier in the season. I also couldn't help but notice that Curtis was deservedly left out of his farewell tour. Yeah, that's interesting how he did not do a goodbye or apology to Curtis. There wasn't anything between the two of them at all.
I think actually that was filmed and cut. There's also, we know that there was a pretty, you could kind of tell in the final editing, there was a pretty large chunk of the final goodbye between Oliver, Felicity, and William, the Queen family goodbye. Quite a lot of that was cut. And then there's a scene filmed as well between Felicity and William where she has to explain to him that his dad's going to jail.
Okay.
And that she's going to take care of him. And that entire scene was cut as well.
I'd like to see an extended version of this episode.
Oh my God. I would, you know, this is, I didn't really want to, I wanted to be very clear that I don't want almost any of my critiques on this episode specifically, that is, to fall on the writers. I think that the direction on this episode was where most of my critiques lie. I think the performances were fantastic, and I think a lot of the writing, the actual dialogue that goes on between the characters, was quite strong for this episode. Most of my writing critiques are more like season level stuff, right? But the direction, there were so many scenes where I felt like what was on paper was good and how it was presented was questionable, or scenes I was dying to see because, you know, I see a lot of these like spoiler behind the scenes pictures and I knew what was coming. A lot of them were cut and I was sort of disappointed by that compared to what actually did make it in the episode. So I think it's mostly a direction level thing that maybe there were some differences of opinion for me here.
Well, they should have brought in that, female director that did that one episode we all absolutely loved so much.
Oh, yeah. What was her name that we adored her?
Yeah, I don't remember. I'll have to go back a few episodes. But to continue with Christie's final point, she says, number five, Oliver and Lance's last scene together. I'm really going to miss that dynamic. Lance was the last adult father figure left from the first season, and it was so great to see Oliver admit how much Lance has impacted his life. This scene was so powerful that it almost made up for the fact that he died protecting a villain from another Earth. Yeah, it was good. That's why I chose it as one of my scenes, so I hope you enjoyed that. I'm not sure how I feel about Diaz sticking around. Hopefully they do something interesting with him. Otherwise, that might feel stale next weekend. At this point, they may as well retire the mayoral position. It's a deathly cursed. So true. Yes. So no more mayor for Star City. Thank you, Christy. Fun as always. Moving on, a voicemail from Destiny Dazzler.
Hi, Hero Squad. It's Destiny Dazzler. I just got done watching the episode. I really enjoyed it this week. It gets a 9 for me. I was super shocked by the fact that Oliver ended up going to prison at the end of the episode, so that storyline will be interesting to pick up on next season. I like the fact that Diaz carried over into next season, it seems like. I don't think that's ever been done with a villain on Arrow before that I can remember. I mean, we've had Slade come back, but I don't think it like seamlessly transitioned like this into another season. Lance's ending was super sad, and I feel like it was a super sad ending for the character overall, just because they kept referring to Black Siren as his daughter like the entire episode, and she's not his daughter, so that was kind of annoying. But I was super excited to see Sarah, and those scenes with her finding out that her dad died were just heartbreaking. And it'll be interesting to see where everybody is when the show picks up next year. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Yeah, well, thanks, Dazzler. Yeah, she's feeling a lot of the emotions from this episode. So that's good. I'm glad it got to her.
It's just feelings like she always says, it's when she just finished watching it, that's when she records her feedback. And that's, I love hearing feedback from somebody just right after they finished watching something and they're still feeling all those feelings.
You know? It's raw, just like this episode was raw.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, good stuff as always, Dazzler. It's going to be tough not being with you guys for a few months, but
I know. Okay. I hope everybody, I know we still got some more feedback to go through, but I hope everybody that regularly writes in feedback keeps in touch with us and stays active on the Facebook page as we get all the exciting news for season 7. But let's jump into another piece of feedback we got.
Yes.
From Hero Kev.
Somebody new.
Yeah. Kev writes in. He says, hi, longtime watcher / listener, first time writer.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. He says, I watched Arrow from the beginning, and I've been impressed by how the show has grown and changed. The season finale was great. Some action sequences, emotional ups and downs, apparent reconciliations, and sufficient hanging threads. So cool. Such a good way to put it. He says, I think the way Quentin's death was handled was as well as could be expected. I think it was pretty much an open secret that Paul Blackthorne was leaving the show. He says, wasn't it? Maybe I'm misinformed. You are correctly informed, Hero Kev. It was a pretty open secret. He continues, but I liked how they kept him alive to get the entire group together and not just die in a big fight scene. And seeing Sarah come to the hospital and see Earth 2 Laurel was awesome. Good. He says, I watch pretty much every superhero movie and TV show and most genre content. One issue I've had with all of them is the lack of consistency in the way the characters' powers are portrayed. There doesn't seem to be many rules, and even on a show that's pretty limited as far as superpowers, this still seems to be an issue. When Oliver fought Diaz previously, he didn't seem to be as skilled as he normally would be. Let's be honest, he takes on multiple people, and even though Diaz is supposedly skilled, he couldn't get the upper hand before the stabbing. Very good point, Hero Kev. He continues, same thing with this episode. It took some time till we started seeing some real moves, like Oliver's twist move. I don't think Diaz was ever shown to be that skilled of a fighter. Very true. Which is kind of interesting because in the comics, Diaz is supposed to be a pretty skilled fighter.
And I think I addressed all of this during the podcast already in the different stages. I don't think this is the full version of Dragon yet, which I think is what we're going to lead to into next season. And just remember, Oliver was tired. There's a lot of things at play that maybe didn't make it look as greatly skilled of a fight as usual, as you're used to seeing. I think there's reasons to explain that away as well. So hopefully what I said earlier, you'll kind of feel the same way. We'll see.
Maybe. Yeah. I think it's a matter of keep waiting. I'm kind of in between. I agree with Flash that it's a matter of keep waiting and we'll probably see a better version of him next season. But I do also, I mean, I'm sticking with my answer that I didn't like the version we saw this season of Dragon. But he continues. He says, Curtis seems to have picked up a few moves that might have helped when he fought Diaz. I would suggest the director keeps Felicity's hands out of the shot when she's furiously typing, sorry, Emily Bett Ricards, I still love you, and Felicity. Yeah, I mean, the typing sounds are added in ADR, so they can't match the character's movements. So well, that's a good catch.
I think what he's also referring to is she was just typing away at the same key. Like she was just bashing the keyboard. She wasn't even moving her hands left and right or covering the keyboard in any sense of the word. So that's what I think he means by it looks bad. And I totally agree with him. If I had to, you were talking about the directing. Yeah. I have to pick apart some of the camera movements in this. It was so frenetic and so there was too much movement that it actually made it a little bit dizzying, especially if you watched it in high definition. There's too many camera zoom ins and outs or get like the camera itself actually moving in and moving out and and reverse. Like it would move in really quick on Felicity typing and then it would switch to Wild Dog's face behind her and it would pull back right out again. And like a 2 second shot and you had these two really fast movements. It was disorienting a little bit. So I do agree right there. There was definitely some fakeness. It just didn't look right.
Yeah. I strongly agree with Flash, and also Flash knows what he's talking about because he does a lot of camera stuff as well.
Yeah.
But I agree. It was sort of like they were trying something that maybe they weren't quite good at yet, the sort of shaky cam feel, but maybe just didn't really have the right cut and the right direction for it. But this is not us knocking Arrow directors. I think there have been some fantastic Arrow directors this season. This approach and this finale just may not have hit the mark.
Right.
He goes on to say, I get the need for story-driven scenes that would affect the way such things are portrayed. I just find it frustrating, but admittedly, it doesn't make me stop watching. He's referring to little direction nitpicks there. He says, Oliver in jail, Diaz alive, Siren still on Earth 1? ? A lot of things to look forward to. Black Siren and Siren X, anybody? Ooh, interesting. Mm. He says, and apparently the next CW crossover will introduce Batwoman. What a time to be a comic fan. Yeah, I'm excited for her. He says, FYI, I briefly met Stephen Amell at Comic-Con along with Tom Welling. Just had a picture taken. He seemed very nice, but he seems much smaller in real life. Apropos of nothing. Thanks for reading. I really enjoy the podcast and look forward to future episodes. You have not failed the Podosphere. Hero Kev. Aww.
Thanks, Hero Kev. So fantastic to have you on board with us. You've been a long-time watcher, long-time listener. That's just cool. We thank you so much for chiming in with some of your thoughts. It's good to have some new blood in here and hear what you have to say. And I'm imagining you must be a pretty big fellow yourself if you think Stephen Amell is small, because I've met him a few times and he stands quite a bit taller than I am. I just crest over the top of his shoulder, so he's got like 4 inches on me. You must be a pretty big dude yourself, but anyway.
Yeah, most of when I've met Stephen, David, Emily, all of them, I always just feel so tiny. Like even Felicity, Emily is, you know, a couple inches taller than me. So it's just sort of, however, I think that his comment about Stevens being smaller in person is also a bit of a compliment, because it means that on screen, when he needs to come across as a superhero, he does come across as larger than life, right?
Yeah. So yeah, that's true.
Kind of interesting.
Cool. Well, thank you, Hero Kev. Hopefully we'll hear from you next season.
Yeah.
All right, we got a special one we're including here. We hear from this guy, Mr. Michael T. Ford III, on Twitter all the time, but he actually tweeted something that he'd like to add to the podcast as feedback. He had included this tweet saying he wants to hear our thoughts. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of no longer invested in the mission to save Star City. They really didn't do a good job of demonstrating the plight of regular people, so Star City seems like more of an abstraction than anything else. And he wanted us to comment on that idea. And me, I have to say, I kind of agree.
I strongly agree.
Yeah.
And well, you're right about Michael submitting a lot of thoughts on Twitter. I love hearing a lot of his reviews and comments on the episodes. I'm really happy that he submitted this one as feedback for the podcast as well.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And I just want to say right now, like, we do get a lot of tweets from people, and there's a lot of Facebook chatter and stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what I wanted to say, guys, is there's always so much of it between the Twitter and the Facebook stuff. It's too much for us to keep track of to be able to include it on the podcast all the time. So that's why when we ask for actual feedback, you know, you guys either send in a voicemail or email, that is direct feedback. Other than that, the tweets and the Facebook feedback, we respond when we can, as we can, to you guys, and kind of, we like having those separate conversations and stuff within that, those social media accounts. It's just, you know, I just want you guys to know we can't include all of it because there's just too much of it in regards to that kind of stuff. So that's why they're there, is to be able to communicate with you guys on those platforms.
But of course, if you have a, you know, a thought expressed in a tweet or a Facebook message, whatever, and you want to just, you know, tag us in it and tell us that it's feedback for the podcast, mm-hmm. that works as well, just like this one did.
Exactly. So to give my thoughts on what he was saying here, I do agree with him. They only minorly touched on the plight of the people in the city, even though Oliver was strongly defending the city. I must save the city. We, you know, the corrupt officials and all that. We never really saw people in danger. There was only a couple brief moments throughout the season where he actually was saving people. And I think there was the one episode that I was very fond of where they actually went in and saved people, and the people got to witness Team Arrow saving them and getting them out. I think it was a burning building or something. That got to be a very heroic moment for them. The city, the citizens got to witness heroes saving lives, which added to their credibility of being heroes behind the scenes. And we did not get a lot of that this season. So to try to believe that the city's in trouble and there's justification behind saving it, it really is hard to bite into that and believe it wholeheartedly, because we never got a good sense of why.
Yeah, we never really saw that many good people in Star City other than the team of heroes breaking the law to try to save the city. I think if we contrast that from the vibe that we get in season one, where the focus is not just on saving Star City as a whole, but the fact that a particular part of the city, the Glades, was being attacked, and then they personified the Glades through the character of Roy. So we have a individual from the Glades that we can sort of attach to. And, you know, we see him, and I believe we see Roy's grandmother or his aunt or something like that as well. And we kind of get a feeling of what the Glades represent in this. It's the disadvantaged part of Star City, and how there was a group, the people in the book, the elite of Star City, who were targeting them. And not only, of course, is that quite representative of the morals and the political stance taken in the Green Arrow comics, it also allows us on a more personal level to attach to a particular part of Star City. And that's what was missing here. We never see the good people, even if they're not represented by something as clear as the Glades or the lower end part of the city. We just don't see them at all. We don't know who it is we're saving. And I think that's why you know, as Flash has pointed out before, as I've said before, and as Michael now says, we're not attached to the city anymore. And we understand that Oliver is. So it's still somewhat meaningful that he's saving the city by allowing the city to jail him. But we don't care about the city itself.
Exactly. Well said, Cammy. Well said. Well, thanks, Michael T. Ford III. That's just a fun name to say.
That is a great name.
It is. Thanks for just adding that in. So, yeah. Next up, we have an email from Dad L. What's he have to say this week, Cammy?
Dad L. writes in and he says, "Hello, squad. What I liked most about this finale was that it was different. The villain's army was taken down early, but the bad guy is still on the loose and Oliver gets put away instead. This felt different than previous finales, but in a very good way. There are several unresolved storylines, but I don't mind that. This episode had to make room for all of the intense emotional moments we had. A few quick thoughts. The Longbow Hunters are coming. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. Stephen Amell gave an outstanding performance this week. I will miss the Quentin and Oliver relationship, but I'm so glad we have a new Queen family to follow." Very well put. He also says, "I thought Renee was going to hang up the mask by the end of the episode, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does do that when the show returns in the fall."
Yeah, that's true. Interesting. You could see him really struggling with what happened after the almost being blown up. He was
definitely
having trouble.
Yeah. Which would be, I would understand. That's honorable. You know, he's got a daughter. Mm-hmm. He goes on and he says, "I was disappointed that Anatoly's role was so small. Also, it was a little too convenient that no one thought to check the location Diaz gave for traps. These two things lowered the score just a bit. Otherwise, this was an excellent episode and a great finale. My rating is a 9.75. Arrow finales are the best. Dad L, last father of Krypton."
Well, it barely chinked into your rating, those last two points.
That's very strong rating.
But good points overall. And I agree with you. Renee might hang up the mask. They might write him out as a supporting character next season just because of what he's struggling with. I think you could see it in his face. He was, when Oliver came to apologize to him, he was really contemplating heavily what almost just happened to him. So I would not be surprised to see him gone, which is okay.
Yeah, no complaints here. Respect. Understand. So sorry to see you go, Renee.
Now, as we were just saying about Michael T. Ford III's tweet getting us in, we also have someone that is quite active on our Facebook page. It's Mr. Rob Walters, and he says, "Hey, Arrow Squad. I normally give my feedback via Facebook, but I thought I would change things up a bit this time," which is exactly what we're talking about, because he usually puts in a very long Facebook post on the page expressing his feelings and thoughts, and we always read it. I try to respond to it when I can, so this is cool that you're sending in feedback that we can make part of the podcast. So he says, "I'd like to say that overall, I really like this season of Arrow. For the first time in several years, it has had my attention far more than The Flash has."
Yeah,
me too. Which speaks to both shows a bit, I think. "I was concerned in the middle of the season with the NTA versus OTA fighting, but the way they wrapped that up with Oliver's goodbyes to everyone, or almost everyone, was great. This finale was fantastic. The way they brought in the FBI and everyone working together was the most believable way to stop Diaz and his control of the city." Yeah, I totally agree with that. "I hated to see Lance go, but it was nice seeing Sarah on the show again, even just for a minute. I did enjoy how Oliver went to everyone but Curtis with his goodbyes. It felt like he was the only one that really had no real reason to have ever been upset with Oliver, and I think the writers were showing that here." Yeah. "As for next season, I'm really hoping we get to see a bit of prison Oliver next season fighting to stay alive, and they don't have prison corruption or something like that to deal with, and it'll be interesting to see how he gets out, because he will, let's be honest." Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I really do hope we get a few episodes of him in prison and having to survive in there, because that's got to be a scary situation for sure. "I also hope that Roy comes back as the Green Arrow in the suit they made for Diggle," which seems ridiculous given the size difference, but if Diggle could fit into Oliver's suit, I'm throwing some comic book logic around here too. Yeah, I wonder if Roy would come back and suit up as Green Arrow just as a stand-in. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I saw some theories go around that maybe because Roy and Felicity had quite a friendship, Roy might come in and sort of be there helping take care of Felicity and William as a bit.
Maybe.
Of a like Queen family bodyguard type of situation.
Yeah, who knows? Or yeah, I mean, Diggle kind of turned the suit down when Uller presented it to him. But during the final monologue that you chose as your favorite scene, we saw Diggle look towards the case.
Right.
As he was talking, so he might be contemplating putting it on while Oliver is in prison. So mm-hmm. maybe Roy will be his sidekick for a little bit. Who knows? Right. Yeah. I don't know. I am so excited at just the fact that Roy's coming back. So so he continues, I think to an extent, these shows are suffering from 23-episode seasons, and a shorter, more concise season of 18 episodes may be better. But I'm hopeful they can master the two-part season thing they did this year going forward. Ah, that's what I brought up earlier. Anyway, I've gone on too long here and just want to say, can't wait to hear what you and everyone else in the quality Arrow Squad community you have cultivated have to say about this episode and season overall. Thanks, from Rob. No nickname given. I'm guessing he doesn't have a superhero name.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for those awesome kind words at the very end there. It's not just us. I appreciate you saying that about us. We love that our fans have stuck around with the transition to me and Cammy taking over the show over the last season and a half. And I love that our fans have been with us. It's thanks to all of you guys that keeps us going. And we love doing this for you guys and keeping the show alive. But it's great to hear from you in here, Rob Walters, because I do enjoy you're usually the very last message that gets posted on the episode discussion thread. So it's kind of fun. You're usually the last one in there. And I love the words that you always have to say. You got good points for sure. So thank you for being.
I love reading everybody's live thoughts and after the show thoughts in our Facebook group and then also on Twitter and so on.
All right. Next up, voicemail from Bat Jordan. What's he got to say this week for the finale?
Hey, Arrow Squad. This is Bat Jordan calling from Georgia regarding the Arrow season finale. To whoever organizes this, I also left two pieces of feedback for Gotham Undercover this week, so I want to make sure that these don't get mixed up because I'm leaving them very close together in time. So just anyway, whoever organizes this, just wanted to make sure you don't get it mixed up. but yeah, talking about this Arrow season finale, wow. I thought this was such a great finale. Really all the stuff with Diaz, really seeing him get more and more unhinged, the scenes with him and Anatoly at the beginning, the scenes with him and Laurel at the beginning, and the scenes with him and Quentin on the phone at the beginning. I mean, I thought it was unhinged before, but just seeing it taken to a whole nother level here. And I mean, I love him, and I'm so glad that at the end of this episode, he's still around. So really this season, we only really got a half season of him as the big bad. And because I love him so much, I'm really glad that it looks like we're going to be getting more of him in the future. I love the stuff with Laurel. I got to say, I called it with what was going to happen with Quentin. I mean, I'm really sad to see him go. But I'm happy if it means that, again, I know you guys disagree with me here, but I'm happy if it means that Laurel is going to be redeemed, which it looks like it is. I love the scene where she teamed up with Dinah in this episode. We got to see them both use their canary cries back to back. That was so cool. And again, seeing Sarah, a third canary in this episode, great to see her back on Arrow where she started. Even if the circumstances could have been better. I mean, obviously it was her father's death. So, I mean, that's not exactly the happiest circumstance to have her back, but it was still great to see her again. I loved the fight between Diaz and Oliver in this episode. I mean, James Bamford directed this episode, so you know you're going to get some good fight scenes, and man, that was incredible. That final big battle between Oliver and Diaz, which, I mean, perhaps not the final battle between the two of them, because, like I said, he's still around. At the end of this episode, Oliver revealed his identity, obviously, which I think you guys have been speculating about quite a bit that he might do that. Very reminiscent of the way in which he did it on Smallville, actually. So that was kind of interesting. In this episode, what this makes me think that though next is that she mentioned he was going to Supermax prison, and what I think is going to happen is that we're going to get some inspiration taken from that film, Green Arrow Escape from Supermax, which has been in development hell for forever. So it makes me think that maybe Arrow is taking some inspiration from that. Really just such an awesome finale, such an awesome way to end the season. That this season, I gotta say, it started kind of slow for me, but pretty much ever since Diaz killed Caden, this season just kicked into high gear and I've loved it ever since. So, I guess I'll talk to you guys next season and, bye bye.
Awesome, Jordan, as always.
So good to hear from him.
I think he termed it perfectly. Diaz is unhinged. That's the best way to describe exactly what's happened with him losing control, unhinged. So yeah, thanks for that perfect word to describe what's going on, which like I think is going to lead to him turning into the full-on dragon that people know from the comic books. I love his optimism and just pumping up the show constantly. He loves everything about it. It's just cool. He backs most of my ideas, so I love that especially.
He does. You guys are kind of cut from the same cloth there.
Cool. Awesome as always, Jordan. Thanks so much for that. All right, we are on our final piece of feedback. It is a nice long email from Stormy Woods. What does Stormy have to say, Cammy?
Stormy writes in with her essay on the finale. I love hearing from her. She says, I'll give this episode a 6 out of 10. Apologies in advance. My feedback this week is rushed and I really couldn't get my thoughts together, but there were two standout scenes to me in this episode. First one was Oliver and Diggs' talk in the police station, and then Oliver's talk with Lance in the hospital. I think those were your favorites, or those were among your favorites as well. Yep. She says both of those scenes were very well acted by the actors and the dialogue was really good. I also liked the fight scenes in this episode. So great job to the stunt crew of Arrow. Seeing Sarah go to Felicity for comfort after her dad died broke my heart, but I'm happy Felicity was there for her. I wish I could be more positive, but there's stuff I didn't like, and I want to talk about that more. So, Sarah is brought in for a cameo, but doesn't get to have a scene with her father while he's still alive. That bothers me so much, because Sarah loves her dad, and the fact that more scenes were given to his demented relationship with Black Siren than his actual daughter is a failure of the writing. I'm so happy that at least so far, Sarah hasn't got stuck with Black Siren and seemed to fully grasp that she is not your sister.
Yeah, I can't disagree with her thoughts there.
Yeah, she says, I'll miss Paul Blackthorne, and I'm bummed that the Black Siren storyline is the one he's going out on. It did Lance's character a massive disservice.
Yeah.
While I'm talking about Black Siren, way to fail in trying to kill Diaz. Could she be more incompetent? Oh, I really wish that had been an intentional move on Siren's part. I kind of want to believe that. She continues, she says, you did a short scream and launched him into the water. As soon as that happened, I knew he wasn't dead.
Yeah, me too.
On Cammy's after show, she mentioned that Siren wasn't trying to kill Diaz. And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, I mentioned my theory on my after show that she was trying to help him, you know, trying to give Siren a little bit of credit there. Stormy's not having it. She says, if I couldn't already hate her more now, I'm stuck with Diaz for another season because of her. Oh, joy. I did love Watson being like, I know that's not the real Laurel. She's a criminal who made her bed and I don't care about saving her. I'm so with you on that, Watson. She says, apparently the longbows might be a big deal next season, but I know nothing about them, so it's hard to get hyped. Well, we might be able to help you out with that, Stormy, eventually.
Yes, just stick with us as the season 7 draws closer. We'll hopefully have some information for you on that and get you pumped up.
Yeah. She says, Oliver mentioned them, but said the last that the League of Assassins had heard of them was in the 1950s. Ooh. So I'm asking the question, how does a low-level street thug like Diaz know something the League didn't? Ooh, that's an interesting question. She says, I'm happy to see Anatoly continued to outsmart Diaz because Anatoly will always be better than Diaz. We like Anatoly. And she says, the last we saw of Anatoly, he had turned himself into the FBI. So I wonder if we will see him again. Oliver, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good point. He turned himself in and that was the last we saw of him because craziness broke out after that. So yeah, that's another not left untied. We're not sure what's going to happen with him. If he turned himself in, do they put him in prison, protective custody? Maybe he's going to go to jail with Oliver and it'll be the two of them buddy-buddy in jail. How cool would that be?
Ooh,
the two of them having to survive together in prison. That just
came
to
be bros again.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, interesting. She says, Oliver continued to apologize to all of NTA, but only Dinah said sorry back. None of them have bothered to apologize to Diggle or Felicity, so I don't want them back on the team. Yeah, I'm really surprised none of them apologized to Diggle, especially when they were given two opportunities during Diggle's episode. I'm with her on that.
They still might. Who knows?
Yeah. She says, can we please just be done with Renee and Curtis? The cast is going to be really big next season, and we need to trim off cast members. Nothing against the actors, who are great, but those characters are too far gone with me. She says, now let me get into Elicity, because I'm really not okay with Oliver right now. Uh-oh. You get immunity for everyone except yourself, and don't bother to tell your wife. You told her not that long ago that any big decision will be talked out between the two of you. Well, Oliver, I think accepting a life sentence is a big decision. She says, I get that the executive producer's excuse for Oliver not telling her is because she would have tried to talk him out of it. That's not good enough for me. And what they chose to do regressed Oliver's character. He talked two episodes ago about wanting a life with his family after the Green Arrow days and not wanting to put a target on their backs. Yet he chose to sacrifice his happiness with his family for that ungrateful city and outs himself as Green Arrow. So therefore, William and Felicity will now be targeted without him to protect them. That's an interesting perspective. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
He brought up, though, that they're going to go into protective custody with Argus.
Yeah.
He said that in the holding room, so that's where they're going.
Yeah. True. I mean, they don't want that, but that is where they have to go, yeah. She says, when Felicity said William hasn't known me a full year now, and now I'm his only parent, my heart broke for her. She already has abandonment issues, thanks to her father, and now Oliver essentially abandons her. Ooh, I mean, that's... intense. She says, well, I'm sure he thinks it's noble. That's true. The amount of pain Felicity and William are going to go through just gut punches me. That was pretty heart-wrenching, wasn't it?
Well, especially in the room, in the holding room there, when he brought William in, and Felicity had to back away. She couldn't contain herself anymore. So, yeah, the situation is tough. But
yeah.
Do
you want to hear a little heart-wrenching tidbit about that scene that we learned because of a con this weekend? Stephen Amell was talking about that scene and also how he gets into the emotions for different scenes, for the emotional scenes. Mm-hmm. And he said that the scene where he says goodbye to Felicity is his favorite scene in the whole season of all the scenes he filmed. And he said it was not hard to get into the emotion for that scene at all, because if he looks at Emily, the actress who plays Felicity, and she's crying, he automatically cries as a reflex. So it was the easiest one to cry for, which is so heart-wrenching, isn't it? That just adds a whole other level of emotion, of course.
She's so good.
Oh, she is. She's incredible. They both pair so well together. They have fantastic chemistry in all different kinds of scenes. So Stormy ends her feedback saying, I'll end the feedback with things I want for Arrow in season 7. Number one, Felicity actually getting her company and renaming it Smoke Tech. It's not enough to mention it for a few minutes in 3 or 4 episodes of an entire season. Give her a storyline about it. Come on, Emily and the fans deserve it.
True.
Number two, stop regressing Oliver's character or any of the characters to service a plot. It's just not a good way to tell a story. Number three, I know Elicity have angst coming, because how could they not after Oliver not including her in the jail decision, but no divorce, please. Yeah, I don't think they'll get divorced. I think you're okay on that one.
Yeah.
Number four, let's finally meet Diggle's parents. Come on, David and the fans have wanted for years. Finally deliver that. That would be interesting. We are running short on parents of these heroes on the show. Everybody's dying off.
True.
Number five, please, can we get more Lila? She's so fantastic, and I'll gladly give up Curtis and Renee to have her on more.
So say we all.
Yes. Number six, since we're getting Batwoman in the crossover, let's have Felicity's company working with Wayne Industries. Plus, I'm super excited for Felicity to have scenes with her, because I know Emily is such a huge Batwoman fan. Aw, that's cool.
Yeah, I love that idea. Smoke Tech with Wayne Industries, that could be cool.
That would be really cool. Plus, Felicity Smoke and Kate Kane, Batwoman, have some interesting characteristics in common.
Okay.
Number seven, this is her last one. She says, kill off Diaz as soon as possible and send Siren back to her Earth. Sounds like Stormy's on the hero's side, eh?
And not too much liking Diaz. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Stormy. Awesome thoughts as always, and a very... You said your feedback seemed rushed. Well, that was some pretty thought out ideas and a lengthy one. So
Yeah.
Thank you for that, as always. Well, Arrow Squad, that's the end.
It is.
Oh my God, the end. The end of the season.
We have a hiatus.
We do.
A long one.
Because we're not even sure of the exact return date. Could be end of September, early October. It's always around that time.
Mm-hmm.
We're unsure, guys, but as soon as we find out, we'll let you know. Just keep an eye on the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Like Cammy said, stay in touch with us. If you want to find us on Twitter or talk to us in the Facebook page, please do. We've got nothing to do now for a few months, so yeah, we'll definitely respond and keep in touch with you guys. I don't know what else to say about that other than a thank you once again. I know I've been profusely saying thanks to all of our feedbackers and listeners all season long, but I sincerely, to use Stephen Amell's words, sincerely appreciate you guys sticking with me and Cammy through everything. And
having you guys here around, giving your feedback, hearing your excitement and your happiness and anger and emotions about the Arrow episode is always such a fun part. That's the one part of Arrow I can never critique. That's always a 10 out of 10.
Exactly, guys. We love you guys, all of you, every single one of you. It's so much fun for us to keep doing this, and we'll be back again next season for sure. I think that's it, Cammy. Happy off-season to everybody. Happy off-season to you.
Yes. Enjoy your summer hiatus.
Totally, guys. All right. Oh, one little tidbit. I announced my personal podcast, Cybercast, a long time ago. Well, I haven't had the time to get to it, but I am going to work on it. Now that Legends and Arrow is done, I will get to it. So keep an eye out for that, guys. I'll let you know about that. Until all of that comes out, this is The Flash, signing off for now.
And this is Cammy. Goodbye.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media. You can find all our contact info, links, and feedback form at arrowsquad.com. We'd also love to have you leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. If you're looking for other great podcasts covering your favorite TV shows, check out our partners at goldenspiralmedia.com. As always, please share the show, and thanks for listening.